Good morning and happy Mother's Day. You may have a seat. I was spending some time with friends, because I have a couple of those, like maybe one or two. And they were telling me, we were reflecting on our Mother's Day stories, and my friend Amanda said, well, yeah, Chris and I had an interesting first Mother's Day some years ago. I said, oh, what happened? She said, well, you know, I carried our child for 9 months and dealt with all the difficulties of doing so, hot flashes and sore feet and being bedridden at different points in time. And I couldn't wait till Mother's Day because my son was going to be born and I'd have him for about 2 months. And then Mother's Day was the day that I would finally get the chance to celebrate being a mom. So that day came and our baby was only a couple months old. And I got up that morning and was waiting for breakfast in bed, which didn't come. And then I was going through my day and was waiting for the cards, which didn't come. And I didn't know what to say, so the whole day went through with this awkward silence. And I looked at Chris, my husband, and said, did you get me anything? In which he looked back and said, you're not my mom. Oh, my gosh. And she said, as soon as he said it, he couldn't get the words back into his mouth. And ever since then, she's gotten 2 to 3 cards every Mother's Day since. Pretty epic fail, huh? Well, in the same manner, I don't want to step into our Mother's Day time with you and make any epic fails or assumptions either. I know that for some of you, you're here this morning and Mother's Day is not always the happiest day for you. In fact, some of you are here and maybe you're feeling that pain point because of some circumstance in your life or some difficulty happening right now. And I just want to acknowledge that. And maybe even for some of you, you were dreading coming today because it's Mother's Day and that's not the highlight of your year. There was a poem that, excuse me, I came across last year. And I read it, and it was really touching, I think, for all of us. And I tried to do something different this year, but it's just too good that I just want to read it again. So let me read this in honoring for some of you that might be struggling this Mother's Day. To those who've struggled with infertility, we pray with you. To those who've lost their moms, we mourn with you. To those who've experienced miscarriages or stillbirth, neonatal death, or yes, even abortion, we stand with you as well. To those who have been caught in limbo as they struggle to adopt, we won't give up with you. To those who've labored and mothered under the grievous diagnosis of a child's sickness or of a child hospitalized in intensive care, we support you. To those who've parented through divorce, we're here for you. To those who've lost their children to accidents or disease or suicide, we grieve with you. To those who've been deployed, serving far away from their families, we remember your service today. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those whose daughters or sons are missing, we are believing with you for their safe return. And to those who've never physically given birth but have adopted legally or spiritually those around you, we celebrate you. We understand that mothering is an amazing gift for many of us, but is oftentimes brought with difficulties. And we just want to acknowledge that our hope is that in your attendance and your being here this morning, that Jesus would touch your heart in a special way, and that need that's within your heart, that he would meet that need as you meet with us this morning as we celebrate the gift of motherhood. It's a really interesting thing when the culture that we live in wants to look at the Bible and say it's completely irrelevant. And it's fascinating to me because so much of how we've built our country has come from Scripture. In fact, the idea that men and women are equal and men and women have value actually comes from our Bible. That very idea is written at the most earliest part in Scripture in the picture in how God designed the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 reads, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. That God, in his vastness, in his infiniteness, in his hugeness, decided to reveal himself to the world through man and woman. both equally in value, both equally in importance, that he would reveal himself in that. Yet, unfortunately, many of the pronouns we use for God are masculine. We refer to God always in the man form, but we know that God transcends gender. He's greater than gender. Gender was created male and female to give us a picture of both the masculinity and femininity of God. Unfortunately, though, we oftentimes celebrate his masculinity and neglect to celebrate his femininity. Well, I would submit to you this morning that Mother's Day is a time when we can look at the other side of the character and nature of God. That we can reflect on how amazing moms are, and in turn, we can get a picture of how amazing our God is. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat right now. Ribbit. If you look at moms, you can think of stories of how amazing they are. I don't think anyone would ever doubt that. The mom's ability to multitask is supernatural. I can't text and walk at the same time. During worship, Louisa is a mom. She was playing drums. I saw one of the drumsticks fly in the air. And almost in supernatural form, another one came into her hand. And the whole time I'm looking, I'm like, how the heck did she do that? But she was able to keep the beat, drop the stick, grab another one, and just keep going. Moms are unbelievable. They care for us. They feed us. They're there at just the right times. They have just the right amount of love and care for the circumstance that we're in. And they never leave us. They always commit to us. They're always around us. And we all came from our mothers. It's probably the one thing all humanity has in common. And when I look at moms, there's so many different things we can focus on and how amazing moms are and how amazing moms reveal the character and nature of our God. But alas, we don't have weeks to go through this process. I'll try to pick just three to cover this morning. Because when I think about my wife and the way that she mothers, and I think about my mom and the way she mothered me, there's so many rich deposits in my life, and it proves to me that God is real. Because moms do things that almost become supernatural in our lives. And many of us are living lives in certain ways today because of the way our moms taught us, because of the way our moms raised us. The first thing that I've noticed that I've learned about my mom and I've learned about my wife and her mothering is the mom's ability to protect her children. If you were to go to lunch today, well, you probably will, or brunch or lunch or dinner, in that dead space of time, open your phone and Google super mom acts of courage. You'll find that moms under distress when they're young are being threatened do supernatural things. There's stories of moms literally lifting half vehicles, like half the vehicle off the ground to rescue their child in the moment of need for their kid. There's stories of moms who have been caught in a fire, grabbed their kids against their chest and jumped out third story windows only to land on her back with her kids okay, and she was okay too. Moms have a supernatural, crazy endurance, an unseen ability to protect their children. But this is what I found. Moms don't only protect their kids from physical harm, because moms also have an innate ability to protect their children's hearts. Oftentimes, when my kids come home from school and they've had some form of struggle or some relational situation, they immediately run to my wife because they know that mom has my best interest in mom. Mom's going to help me navigate this situation to protect my heart. I already know what dad's going to say, and I'm like, sure, if you come to me, I'll listen to your struggle, and I'll tell you how to grab that girl by the pigtails, pull her down the ground. Just kidding, I would never do that. I'm a pastor. Gosh. I have a perfect family. I say the perfect things all the time. They know that if I go to mom, mom's going to help me navigate my heart because mom knows how to for me to protect my heart and I can get to this relational issue in just the right way. My wife has an unimaginable ability to help my children navigate the relational hardships of life even at their young age now. Why? Because she's a protector of their hearts. She knows how to protect them in these situations. She knows how to say, this is the situation, honey. This is the situation, son. You're going through this conflict, but life is going to have conflict. Here's how to still be vulnerable and soft, loving and caring, while also protecting the heart that God's given you. Only a mom has that capacity. And in fact, God even talks about himself in the same capacity through Scripture. We know in Deuteronomy, God talks about himself like a mother eagle. In the book of Hosea, God talks about himself like a mother bear, that these animals protecting their young. Even in the book of Matthew, Jesus refers to himself and refers to his father as an animal as well, a female animal at that. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones, God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. That Jesus and the Father would have such an understanding about the woman and the understanding about mothering that they would then put themselves in an illustration as a mother protecting their young. That this is the kind of protecting that I want to give you. And this is no better illustrated than with Jesus being entrusted to a teenage girl. I mean, if I was God and I was going to send Jesus to save the world, first I'd probably have him float down from the sky. And then I'd probably have him land in like a military camp, a place that would protect him until his time had come to do what he was meant to do and to give his life, to make sure that those 30 years, nothing would happen. But God entrusted a teenage girl that she would be able to protect the heart of the Savior of the world. God had a huge value on the innate ability that he placed in women to protect their young. After all, it reveals the character and nature of our God. But I've also seen that women in mothering have an endurance to be able to commit to their children through thick and thin. That there's no quit in them, there's no give up in them, there's an ability to pursue and persevere through the hardest of times with their children. My wife and I have friends all over the world. Some of them are in our age group, some are significantly older than us. One of these friends live in the upper area of the state of Michigan, and they're pretty well off. They've had some family companies, and they had their first two sons, and after that, they felt their family was empty, and they decided, we want to adopt. So they traveled over to Korea. They heard there was a need to adopt kids from Korea, and there they met one little girl that was super cute, but attached to her hip was another little girl. They weren't biological siblings, but they acted like siblings, and they thought, well, we came to get one. Let's just take two. So they adopted both the kids and brought them back to Michigan and began to raise them. And Marlis, who's our friend, she was a 5'7", super skinny, blonde-haired, blue-eyed German woman, now raising two little brown-haired, dark-eyed Korean girls. And she gave everything to them. She learned about them. She gave her life to them. She cared for them. She literally and truly, those children were her children. She always knew the day that there'd probably be a point where these two little girls would want to meet their biological mom. Well, sure enough, in their little girls' late 20s and early 30s, it came time that they said, Mom, we want to meet our real mom. And so she began to make the preparations for it and booked all the tickets for all the families to travel over to Korea. And fortunately enough, I happened to be in Korea at that time. So he said, hey, Matt, can you help us out here? Katie and Bethany are going to try to find their moms, and we think we've found Bethany's mom, and we want to meet her for the first time, but she speaks no English, and we speak no Korean. Do you have any friends that are bilingual? And I said, yeah, I actually do have a couple friends, and grabbed one of my friends. They said, Matt, we don't even know a place to meet them, and I picked a restaurant for us to meet, and all of a sudden, I was in the center of this reunion. So I meet them at the subway stop, and we're all walking together to the restaurant to meet the biological mom of Bethany, the oldest of the two daughters. And I'm talking to Marlis, the mom, and I said, hey, how are you feeling right now? And she said, you know, Matt, I'm nervous. I'm scared. Like, what are they going to do? Is it, you know, are they going to want to just go with her then or stick with me? Or I don't want them to feel that they have to pick either one. And what's this mom going to say when she sees me? Is she going to resent me? And so sure enough, we arrive at the restaurant, and we come walking in, and we see the biological mom sitting there. She stands up, and immediately begins to walk towards the daughter Bethany and then immediately scoots by her and goes over and grabs Marlis. And she hugs her. And she says, thank you so much. My daughter is your daughter. And immediately Marlis is crying. They're crying. I'm crying. The waiter's crying. Everyone's been crying. I get emotional just thinking about it. Well, unfortunately, that relationship between Bethany and her biological mom didn't really work out very well after that, but Marlis committed to her daughter. She came back with her and coached her through the disappointment of her biological mom letting her down. And then shortly after that, Bethany ended up getting breast cancer. And this Marlis stuck with it through her, through thick and thin with that. And I'm thinking, how does a woman have the ability to commit to their children to that level? In fact, if you watch any of the A&E shows, the reality shows called Intervention, you'll find that when the children are caught in addiction, usually the case is that mom is enabling the addiction. And typically what happens is the professionals come and say, you need to stop, mom. But what happens? Mom can't stop. Because mom's so committed to her child, it doesn't matter what her child is going through, she will lay her life down for her child no matter what the circumstance. Moms have an ability to show us what true commitment is. And here's the radical thing. God allowed for moms to have that innate ability to show us his character and how he commits to us. Isaiah does a really interesting job to break this down. He's trying to give a prophetic picture to the people of Israel of how much God loves them. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. Isaiah is saying, listen, it's almost impossible for a mom to forget the child that she's raised, she's committed to, she's protected. It's almost unfathomable to think that that could happen despite some crazy circumstance or maybe some mind-altering addiction that would force them to. Like, it's literally almost impossible. But if that actually happened, God doesn't even have the capacity to do that. And we get a picture from Isaiah that God would say, I'm that mom that's committed to you. I will never quit on you, regardless of the circumstance you go through, regardless of your kicking and screaming, regardless of your lack of belief in me or your belief in me, regardless of whatever sin you think you're caught in, regardless of your financial situation, regardless of being in jail, but regardless of anything, God would say, it is impossible for me to not commit myself to you. So moms have a capacity to protect our hearts, that show us that God protects our hearts. And moms have a capacity to commit to us that gives us a picture of God's commitment to us. And lastly, moms have a supernatural capacity to nurture us. Now, to be honest, I don't know if there's a family that exists that's not dysfunctional. I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, I try to be functional, but I can be pretty dysfunctional. And everyone's like, well, this is a dysfunctional family. I'm like, really? Did you really come from a functional family? Can we really be honest here? I think it's a myth. And in my life, my family would have been categorized as dysfunctional, but not any more dysfunctional, I think, than anyone else's, though. There were some extraneous situations of addiction in my family growing up. But regardless, my mom still had a capacity to nurture me. Now, my mom was a Latin woman. She got fiery when she got mad. She did things she probably didn't wish that she could take back now. But nonetheless, my mom still had this ability to nurture me. In fact, there's things in my life today that I live because of sayings my mom used to tell me. My mom was frequently trying to encourage me that I could do anything I put my mind to. I can remember phrases that my mom would say where she would say, Matt, you can ask for anything you want. The worst thing that person could say is no. I've made my decisions and many times in my life with that voice in the back of my head. Well, the worst thing they could say is no. Or my mom would say, Matt, you should at least try it. It's not like it's going to kill you. It almost did a couple times, but well, she wasn't thinking I would try some of those things, I think. My mom nurtured this ability in me to not fear man or fear the unknown. And I look at my life and the things that God's led me in and my obedience to him, and I think if my mom hadn't nurtured those things in me, I probably wouldn't have been able to walk into many of the things that God wanted to lead me into. Because my mom had this ability where she desired to nurture me, where she desired to care for me, where she desired to commit to me, where she desired to enrich me, where she carried this unbelievable passion to cherish me. Regardless of any dysfunction that happened, that shone through. In the same way, God wants to nurture us. In the same way, God cherishes us. That the things that we can think back on, the slogans, the moments where our moms didn't quit on us, the encouraging words that they continued to give us, that we could look at that and go, wow, that comes from God. God sees me in the same manner. God wants to nurture me as well. In the New Testament, we get a picture of our role and while we're here as the church. And the picture that we get from the Bible is that Jesus is our groom and we are his bride. He doesn't say you're going to be a great military church. He doesn't say you're a great organization, Fortune 500 company church. No, he gives us a feminine picture of our role now. That we are the bride that is getting ready for our groom to come and whisk us off our feet. And in that way, I think that God gives us this feminine picture as a community because then it's our job to nurture the world. That as we've been nurtured and as we see moms who nurture their children and we've been nurtured by moms, then in seeing that, then we realize our role as the church is then to nurture the world as well. Last Sunday, we had an amazing time where we celebrated our youth ministry with Pastor Donnie and Rod showing us Straight Up and Red Door and all the things that they were doing. We heard about a story with Rod and his wife Mariah when they were preparing for this last winter retreat. They were going to bed the night before going, Lord, we feel like there's some more students that need to come with us on this trip. But of course, it was the night before. I mean, how is God going to bring anyone else? And after the time of prayer, they went to sleep, and in the morning, they came down to church to get ready. And as they were getting ready, this single mom from across the street came running over with her two young children. She said, hey, is there any way that I can get my kids on this trip? Of course, the kids were like, no, say no. And Rod and Mariah were like, we were just praying for this. And like, sure, you can come. And the kids were like, no. They got a scholarship. They got snow clothes for the kids. Sure enough, the kids went, and their lives were changed. That single mom's name is Alejandra, and she has six kids, we found out, as a single mom. And it was only the two youngest ones that were here, and she lives right across the street. And we found out that she had some need in her life, and they found out through their children. They took care of their kids to scholarship them, but we found out as a church that, man, there's maybe something that we can do as well. Well, I want to introduce you to Alejandra.
Well, I mean, it is a struggle, like, big time. Well, I had my mom. She helped me a lot. Unfortunately, I got into drugs, and I had to send them to my mom because I wasn't doing good at all. I've ended up in shelters with my kids. We've ended up having to leave the shelter and sleeping in our car. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I think it's grace from God. It's just one day I woke up and I just completely stopped. That was it. I'm 12 years in recovery. Yeah. My kids were in childcare, so I would get up early in the morning, like 5 o'clock, because I would have to go to work, you know, come back tired, try to find somewhere to shower, get my kids showered. And luckily, the daycare found out that we were actually homeless, like we were sleeping, but that's because it slipped out of my daughter's mouth. I'm grateful that the daycare that my kids were going to it was a home-based daycare. She just, you know, she came up to me, she's all, why didn't you tell me that, you know, this was going on? I could have helped you. I don't know if, you know, God was there helping, whatever it was. I'm grateful because she let us shower. She let us stay there for a couple days. And after that, that's when we got a call to go to Mercy House. I felt good, but at the same time, I started like crying, like just crying, like couldn't believe that, you know, I went from rock bottom and just picked myself up in like just a couple years. I kind of kept looking at it and looking at the church, like, you know, and I was hesitant to come. But I wanted them to be here because they were always like either stuck at home, not doing anything. And I wanted them to be more involved in something because I didn't want them to, like, you know, start getting into gangs or drugs. Aaliyah, she likes it a lot, you know. Janine, that she wants to get baptized. Like, I try to spend time with them. Like, since they're older, they're not little kids where they want to go, like, you know. Me and Aaliyah, we have like a mom-daughter day. You know, something simple and not too expensive.
So we, as a church, feel committed to nurture. You can clap for her. But we feel committed to be in that role in our community to serve. And we don't brag about this. And we're not trying to brag right now either. But we give tens and tens of thousands of dollars away out of your tithes and offerings to serve people in this community. We have a huge budget for that. And we wish we could do tons more, but we do what we can. And so when we heard this story and what was going on for Mother's Day, we thought, let's just bless her. And so what we've provided is we gave her a full spa day for Mother's Day. We've bought them tickets to Cineopolis and all the crappy hot dogs and popcorn they can eat. And I don't know if that helps them at all. And it's just a small thing that we want to do because we feel that as a church, our role is to be that in society. That when needs pop up, because I can tell every single one of you that when a need popped up in your life when you were a kid, your mom probably did everything she could to fulfill that need for you. And in the same manner, we understand that God, when a need pops up, does everything he can in his will and his guidance to provide that for us as well. And so in turn, as the church, then we feel called to be people that protect the hearts of the world when possible, commit to loving them with everything we have, and do our best to nurture them and meet their needs. Because we feel like God's character is shown through our mothers. Would you extend your hand or place your hand on your mother if she's close to you? We want to pray for all the mothers in the room. Father, we thank you that you reveal yourself in your character and nature to those that we're putting our hands on right now in this room. We thank you, Lord, that they've blessed us, they've guided us, they've committed to us, they've protected us, they've nurtured us to the point that we're in. And that's because it's your character inside of them. Father, today we celebrate them. We ask for a blessing to be upon them, Lord, that an extra grace, that they would see the fruit of their labor, all the unseen works they've done for so many years for so many of us, that today that they would be willing to open their heart and accept the gratitude from their children. And that, Lord, you would move in them and you would heal them and you would touch them, Father. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow. All right, let's have all the moms.